Your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network shows and hosts are in your car, outdoors, and wherever you need them to be.
Listen anywhere.
Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi, people. Welcome back. Today, we're going to talk about renovation addition projects. Renovation addition are what most people are far more likely to do rather than building a new dream home from scratch. But in fact, it's possible, and we did it, my wife and I, that through buying a few move-up houses, wisely doing well-thought-out renovation addition projects, and always selling up, that in just a few years, a decade maybe, you'll find yourself in your dream home. I'm going to jump around some, but I'll try to answer a few questions that I'm regularly asked on renovation addition. First, are there any renovation addition projects that end up worth more than what they cost? Because the norm is that they're worth less than what they cost. Second and related, should I renovate before I sell? Third, can I just go wild and crazy? Fourth, can we live in the home during renovation addition and remain sane? And last, I'll talk to you about how you can reduce energy use in your home and whether that effort is worth it. Okay, first, are there any renovation addition projects that are worth more finished than what you paid for them? The answer is no. But there's a qualified maybe yes. Renovation addition is expensive. It almost always costs more than what you almost always costs more than doing the same work going into a new house. Think about it. First, the work is done on a smaller scale. And this also tends to be done out of sequence, so it's inefficient. Think of renovating a kitchen. You first need expert advice on that one area, either an architect or a kitchen designer. And I start with that because without expert advice, it's easy to waste money and create a mediocre or clumsy outcome. And a mediocre to clumsy outcome loses money. So first thing is you get advice. And of course, because you're buying it in smaller chunks, you know, it costs a little more for what you're getting. Okay. Then You know, then you have to demo the kitchen. That's an additional cost. And each trade doing work in the kitchen is doing it in small units. So they are less efficient. You've got a plumber, electrician, the sheetrock guys, even the carpenters. They're doing work in smaller units and less efficiently, which means it costs a little bit more for the same work. Then you tend to buy the cabinets, countertops, appliances, all the things that go into the kitchen at retail. When the original builder built your house or builds any house, they tend to buy a wholesale. So each of the items that goes into your renovation addition project, you're paying more money for. And finally, because the units of work are so small, the contractor has to charge a higher percentage for his time and organization. So typically on a renovation addition project, the contractor is charging 20 to 25% overhead and supervision, overhead, and profit. On a new home, he charges 14 to 18% supervision, overhead, and profit. This is why up front I say that, you know, you can't make a renovation addition project pay, is because each piece that you buy is more expensive than that same piece bought in the new home. And then, well, then the last thing on the kitchen is that when you put in this new kitchen, you eliminate any residual value that the kitchen had that you ripped out. And sometimes the kitchen has, you know, the old kitchen, the old bath, whatever, has no residual value. But I've also known people, clients, who have ripped out perfectly good, usable kitchens just because they want something different. And the kitchen has a lifetime of about 15 years. If it's more than 15 years old, you can probably rip it out without any residual loss of value. But I've seen people rip out five-year-old kitchens just because they want something different. Okay, back to the point. On the sale market, on the sale market of homes, a buyer will pay no more for your new kitchen that you just put in than they would pay for the same new kitchen in a new house. And on average, you spend 60% more money renovating your kitchen than what the contractor spent to put that same kitchen in the new house. But the buyer will only pay you, he will only buy it from you at the same price that he will buy that new kitchen in the new house. It's kind of convoluted, but I'm trying to explain why you don't get back your money on any renovation addition project. It's because inefficient going in and premium price going in, and the competition didn't pay that. So it doesn't matter what you want to renovate or add to an existing house. The same relative concept holds true. Replace a bath, you get 60% on your money. Add a master suite, you tend to get 60% on your money. Add a fancy deck, 60% on your money. Even projects that you would think do return better, like finishing off that third floor or basement, don't break even. Because again, you're paying a premium on the work that you have done. If that same third floor had been finished off as part of the original construction, there are two ways you can get back 100% or more on the renovation addition project. First, by doing it yourself. by including your sweat equity. And this is actually how most people do renovation addition and use it to get ahead. Think about it. Every hour that you save of a workman's time is $30 to $50 that you haven't spent. 100 hours is a few thousand dollars saved. You know, if you just do painting, a painter gets $30 an hour plus overhead and profit. It could be as much as $40 an hour that you're saving. I've seen a lot of people do their own painting. A lot of people do their own tile work and installing hardwood floors. Most of the finished stuff you can do yourself. The other way you save money doing it yourself is look for bargains. You shop sales and push for discounts on materials. It took me a while to realize this because we think of contractors getting discounts. But the contractor discount, first, the contractor isn't incentivized to save you money. And also the contractor then adds his overhead and profit on it. So you're much more incentivized to save money than the contractor. And it just works out to almost everything that you buy yourself to go in your home is cheaper than if the contractor bought it. So that's what, you know, that's the first way you can have, you can save money on the project. Then, the most grand way that you save money by doing it yourself is this: you act as your own contractor. You have to analyze your personality. You have to figure out what is your risk tolerance, your hassle tolerance. But if you can do it, if you have the personality to do it, you easily save 20% by acting as your own contractor and combining that with also purchasing your own stuff, pushing for bargains, watching the bottom line. I've seen people save up to 40% of the cost of a renovation addition job by acting as their own contractor. I've also seen it blow up in people's faces and become a disaster and tear their marriage apart. But like I say, you have to analyze your own personality. When we come back from break, I'll talk about the other way that you improve value on renovation addition projects and make them pay for themselves.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Conservation starts with us. Learn about environmental concerns each week when you tune in to Our Wild World with host Ellie Weiss. Our show centers on Africa each week and what's being done to save our wildlife, ecology, and ourselves. However, we'll also discuss what's going on closer to home. And most importantly, we'll let you know what can be done in our own backyards by featuring guest experts and featuring your questions and answers. Listen every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Racism. Healing. Oneness of humankind. It is time to join millions of people all over the world who openly talk about racial healing. Some of us are not sure how to tread when discussing race and culture. Until now. Tune in to A Safe Place to Talk About Race with host Sharon E. Davis. Engage with experts and notables. Have a question but are not sure how to ask it? Test it out with our show. It's a safe harbor to explore views and situations that we face every day. A Safe Place to Talk About Race airs live every Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Ever wondered what private investigators really do and how they go about solving cases? Each week, PI's Declassified gives a glimpse into this little-known world. Join your host, Francie Kaler, a noted private investigator, in conversations with detectives and experts in the field. false confessions, forensic evidence, finding missing persons, exposing fraud, exonerating the innocent. All areas that Francie and her guests will cover. And have they got stories to tell? Tune in and call in to the live show Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi, welcome back. You know, I've done this several times over the years, acted as my own contractor, and saved easily 40% on the job. And what's amazing is that it's passed down. My daughter is renovating a row house, and she's doing the same thing, which, you know, is just wonderful. And she's going to end up substantially less money spent than if she'd gone the standard route. So sweat equity really does work and really does give you the edge to make a renovation addition project pay for itself and worthwhile. Now, the other way you can achieve your goal, the goal of returning 100% on renovation addition, is to gain more than one benefit from any action. Let's stick with the new kitchen example. Say you buy a house with a really bad kitchen, so tight that a model couldn't move around in it, or just obsolete pink cabinets, just a really bad kitchen. That current kitchen is a defect that actually lowers the resale value of the house. If you just bought it, then I'll bet you paid less money for that house because it had a defective kitchen. The other homes you're competing with on the market, and you know, I keep talking about a home as an investment, and keep going back to the idea of buying and selling and relative value to other homes. This is how you evaluate any investment. This is how you should evaluate your home, at least on one level. The homes that you're competing with have decent kitchens. Doesn't mean that they have new kitchens, but they have decent kitchens that people can see themselves working in, making dinner. If your kitchen is so decrepit that the buyer can't see themselves comfortably using it, that's a defect. It's not a zero line item. It's actually lowers the value of the home. Now when you replace it, you're going to gain two benefits from one action. Not only are you getting a brand new in-style kitchen, and that has a value relative to what someone else did in a new home, but you're also removing a sales defect. You may love your home, but if you have a deficiency, a defect that causes potential buyers to pass it by or that discounts the price relative to the competition, where am I going with this? It really is that that's two benefits from one action. And when you start doing two benefits from one action, you start getting back 100% of your money on renovation addition. For instance, if your home has one bathroom and the competition has two bathrooms, that's a deficiency. And another fairly common deficiency that I find is a house without a garage. Most people, when they go and they put on a garage, they blow this opportunity. They just stick on the garage, you know, wherever it fits, however, the lowest person who can build a garage on the house. That's one benefit. One benefit is always a net loss. Because often, in addition to that, the placement of that garage is awkward and it looks clumsy. Anything you add that is awkward and looks clumsy are deducts. They take away from the value of your home. I can look out my window, my back window, and across the golf course and see a house where they awkwardly and clumsily added a garage with a bonus room above it. Doesn't look like the house, doesn't fit with it, and when they go to sell that house, it's going to be a deficit. It will be a deduct from what it should have sold for. However, if you can use that garage addition to enhance the overall street impression of your home, then you've made two benefits from one action. You've made money. And this is something I've done several times. Let's say that the front of your house is 50 feet wide, but you actually have a big enough lot that you can add to it, but the front of your house is 50 feet wide. If you add a breezeway to the side, 16 feet, and then add a double garage, 24 feet, now your home, looking at it from the street, now your home is 90 feet long instead of 50. It's 80% longer. People will buy a 90 feet long house before they will buy a 50 foot long house. And they'll pay more money for it. Two benefits, one action. Now the garage has more than paid for itself. Because in addition to giving you a place to put your cars or your junk, it's increased the street impression of your house. So it's really one of the ones I find all the time is these people add clumsy, awkward garages to actually hurt the value of their home instead of adding well-placed garages to enhance the value of the home. And I'm going to stop and here and do a caution. Over half of all renovation addition projects are failures. Over half of all renovation addition projects are failures because they are clumsy, awkward, they are too timid or too bold, they're poorly executed. And it is much harder to do a renovation addition project well than it is to build a new home well. With a new home, you've got a clean palette, a clean slate, and it can all go together at one time. It looks like it all was meant to go together. It's often hard to do a renovation addition project that looks like it was meant to go there, that enhances the house. And usually a criteria for a successful addition is that a buyer looking at the house can't tell what was original and what was added. If that's the case, then you've got a successful addition and you make more money. So, to get a successful renovation addition project, you need to find and spend the relatively small amount of money. It's usually 10% or less of the cost of the project. You need to find a top-notch designer. I personally believe an architect is best, but you need to find a really top-notch designer to make sure that it fits with the house, that it is beautiful instead of awkward, that it is just so crafted instead of clumsy. Awkward and clumsy cost you money, big money. And further, not the contractor. Contractors are great at building. That's what they do. They build. They're lousy at conceiving the possibilities. Let's assume, and I was going to say something about, well, I will. I've done a number of jobs where I'm actually fixing the contractor's work. Where they've gone in, they've done a clumsy renovation addition job. The house is sold at a discount because of the clumsiness. And then the new owners have brought me in to fix it, to make it better. But let's assume that you have a good contractor and you get excellent workmanship. This is what you expect from a contractor, is excellent workmanship, timeliness, all of that. Even with that, a really well-planned project has a good chance of returning 100% or close to it. That same project, with the same beautiful workmanship, done clumsily, may be worth half that. In fact, I've even seen them where the project done clumsily has made the house worth less money than if you'd never done anything. Okay. Well, this is a good time to break because before I go on to the next portion. So after we come back, we'll talk about should you renovate before you sell.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
There are people just like you who want to make a difference. God's vision for the end time is to bless those that help others. Tune in to Wilderness Mountain Ministry with host Brother Jackie Grissom and co-host Brother Steve Zarling. Our program will help those in Israel who are homeless and starving. We'll also talk about religious, political, and personal matters, as well as end-time prophecies. Listen for Wilderness Mountain Ministry, broadcasting live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Tune into Goddard Design every week for everything that is arts, interior design, and architecture. Host Chris Goddard will help you explore and invite creativity into your life. Our guests will include industry leaders and insiders who take you through the entire world of design and its many facets. You may not be immediately aware, but design is involved in nearly everything we do, from homes to clothing to food and drink. Tune into Goddard Design every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite, live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's CLIPPARCH at yahoo.com. Now back to winning the dream home race.
Okay, should you renovate your home before you sell it? You know, there are these people called flippers out there whose whole business is buying a home at a discount, doing work to fix it up, and selling it at a profit. Should you renovate before you sell? You need to think like they do. The key is to do those things that return at least 100% and to skip those renovation addition projects that don't. You know, sounds almost like, duh, no-brainer. But painting your house inside and out, that pays for itself. Cleaning up the landscaping pays for itself. Get rid of dying or overgrown trees and shrubs. And also grow grass. A new coat of grass is really cheap, really inexpensive. And people like it. Replace the carpets that have any sort of wear on them. Expose and polish the hardwood floors. In other words, do all of the surface stuff that is cheap to do and has high visual impact. Those are like, yeah, anytime you sell a house, that's what you do. You want to make it look as good as possible for what it is. And I talked about the defects in the house and discount the house's price. Look for the defects. If you can fix them, or if the fix can return 100%, do it. One example is a master bedroom that has two outside walls, but windows and only one. The room feels tight and closed in. It costs $1,000 to pop in the window. If for $1,000 you can make the master bedroom feel better, that's good money. That's well spent. Don't do big projects. In fact, looking at the master bedroom, if on the other hand the critique is that there's not enough closet space, well, don't add more closets. Just simply get rid of most of your clothes. So they look in there, there's four shirts hanging in the closet. It looks big. You only know how small it is. Okay, don't do big projects. Fix pieces. In the bathroom, replace the obviously worn toilet or the sink that's lost its chrome. And paint. In the kitchen, maybe replace the countertops or the faucet if they're beat up. Replace pieces. I wouldn't replace the appliances. Instead, I'd offer, depending upon the value of the house, but say $2,000 credit to the buyer towards new appliances. The buyer gets to choose them, and that may be more effective of a lure as saying, I know the appliances are old and crummy. I'll help pay for it, but you, the buyer, get to choose them. It costs you, offer a credit that's about 75% of what you would spend to replace those appliances. And even then, if you replace them, you buy the low end. So it may be half what the new buyer will spend on those appliances, but they're getting to pick them out, so they feel ownership of them. It's cheaper than replacing them. Do not do big projects, but plan for them. This is a great idea, and this is one I've done a number of times. If you have a major deficit, a major deficiency in your house, don't fix it. Show the buyer how it can be fixed. Say the house is missing a garage. Well, architectural plans to add a garage, they reassure the buyer that it can be done. He just has to spend the money. If it's worthwhile to him, he'll build the garage. but he knows he can. You, the seller of the house, you spend $1,000 getting some plans drawn up instead of $40,000 on actually building the garage. And from a resale point of view, you got most of the benefit. I've done a number of houses where they've asked me or paid me to reassure the buyer before they bought the house that they could add a garage. So if that's a deficiency, all you have to do is tell them they can do it. If the master bedroom and bath on the house are not up to the level of competing houses, I talk about, you know, everything is a competition. How does your house compare to the other houses people are looking at? If the master bedroom and bath are not up to the level of the competing houses, show the buyers a professionally drawn plan of how to achieve that dream master bedroom. Buyers get it, that they can achieve it, and they like the idea that they can pick out the finishes, not you, the seller. So don't do the master bedroom bath, but just show the buyer the plans that they how they can do it. A whole lot cheaper. Those plans return 100%. You know, if the deficiency is that you only have one bath in the house, or that the house is small, but you've got a third floor and it's missing a playroom, but you've got a third floor attic that could be converted. Don't put in the second bath, or don't upfit that third floor. Just show the buyers how they can do it. You know, and like I say, the buyer then doesn't feel he's paying for it in the sales price, but he isn't discounting the house because it's missing. So it's far cheaper to acknowledge the deficit, the defect, and to tell the buyer how to fix it than it is to go in there and fix it yourself. The bottom line, if you're thinking about improving your existing home, do it now for yourself, for your enjoyment. If you get back less than 100%, you know, and that's the baseline in renovation addition, then at least get the enjoyment out of it. Do it now, enjoy it. So is 5 years old when you sell. It's not a deficit. It's in line with the other houses they're buying, they're looking at, or even better than them. But you've had the enjoyment of it. So the bottom line, do the work for you, not wait until you sell to do it. Now, just a quick answer on the next question. Can I go wild and crazy on my renovation addition project? No, you can't. And yes, you can. It is your house. You can do what you want with it. This is what I tell owners. It's your house. You can do what you want with it. You can put the bathtub on the porch. You can paint the bedroom a rich purple color and implant crystals into the walls. It's your house. You can do what you want. You can add a tower meditation room, which is actually something I've done a couple of times. And especially my Indian couples have really liked that idea. So you can do anything you want, anything wild and crazy, as long as you do it solely for you. Nobody will pay you for wild and crazy. And sometimes, like with the purple paint job in the kitchen and then the embedded crystals, you actually have to go in there and remove it to sell the house. So it has a net loss. Normally, you have to, you know, normally if you do something wild and crazy, you have to bring it back to normal before you sell. So if you're doing wild and crazy, do it for your enjoyment, except you may lose money on it. Or you know, you may die in the house 20 years from now, and who cares? But if your goal is to protect value, do normal things, but do them well. And I love creating signature elements in a home. Signature elements such as a massive rock fireplace. Or if you look at pictures of my mountain house, the bear cave entrance. These are signature elements that I love to create. And you would think that they would have value. And sometimes they do. I believe they do. But even works of art have a limited audience. The key there is you have to find a buyer who agrees that it is a work of art and who will pay you for it. So wild and crazy, you lose money, but do it for yourself. Works of art, signature elements, you limit your market, but often you can actually get paid back for them. And sometimes you can actually get paid a premium if they're really good. When we come back from break, I'll try to answer the last two questions. Can you live in the house during renovation addition, and what makes sense energy-wise?
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
If you have a child in your life with autism, there may be a lot of questions that you need answered. What if your child has recently been diagnosed? Or maybe you have a question about treatment that your child is currently undergoing. For answers to these and more, tune into Autism Spectrum Radio with Dr. Bill Freya. Our guests will include parents and experts to discuss current experiences, treatments, and breakthroughs for those living with autism. Listen every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
When you look at something that's been designed, whether it's clothing, architecture, or a work of art, do you stop and wonder about the inspiration and thought process that went into the design? Tune in to Dishing the Dirt on Design with hosts Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schappa. We'll take the mystery out of the creation process, along with revealing the backstory from art to fashion to travel and so much more. Listen to Dishing the Dirt on Design every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Okay. Can you live in the house during renovation addition? Well, absolutely you can. Just before my first child was born, in fact, the day before he was born, we ripped the roof off the house and to add a second story onto it. We ripped the roof off the house and then had a terrific thunderstorm come into what was the exposed kitchen area. That probably induced labor. But then bringing the baby home for the first 3 months, all we had was a master bedroom and a bath. And everything else was ripped apart, under construction. Even the other room we'd saved, the ceiling collapsed because of a water leak. And anyway, absolutely, you can live in the house during renovation addition. And a lot of the jobs that we do, a lot of these are very compact and contained projects, like renovating a bathroom or even doing a master suite. They're compact and contained, and a lot of work can be done without going through the house. You drop plastic sheets and tape. Sometimes it gets cold, but it's livable. And the other thing is that you'll have a lot of people coming in and out of your home for months at a time. If the contractor tells you 3 months, the last man won't leave your house for 5 months. He tells you 3 months, the job takes 4 months. And then touch-ups and punch lists and all of that, you know, 5 months. If he tells you 6 months, it's probably going to be 9. So you just have to accept that there are going to be a bunch of people coming in and out of your house for a long time. There'll be controlled chaos. And you'll find yourself going out to eat a lot, finding excuses to do things away from the house. But it's possible. You can live through this. If you accept this upset, then life is fine, and afterwards, you have some stories to tell. There's one caveat I've got, though. You will have a bunch of strangers in your house. So this has only happened to me once, but get all of your walkable valuables out of the house. Put them in a safety deposit box. Store them at a relative's house. It's only happened to me once, but you've got a lot of strangers in your house, and a workman came back after hours and burglared the house. So that's just a caveat or a precaution that you have to take. Now, whenever possible, the contractor would prefer to do the work in a vacant house, either after you buy the house, but before you move in, or when you're away on an extended vacation. When we essentially extended and rebuilt our whole house, when we did that, even though we're used to working around all of this mess, when they did the sheetrock and the painting, which involved the whole house, we went to Montana for a month. It was a great vacation, and we came back, the sheetrock was done, all the dust and mess was cleaned up, and the house had paint. So sometimes it's nice to get away and to plan it in conjunction with the long vacation. There's also two sides to whether you save money staying in your home. Of course you save money by not paying two mortgages or not paying a mortgage plus rent. And you save money by not moving your furniture and moving your stuff out of the house. But if you're being in the house causes the contractor extra work, if he has to schedule things more awkwardly, or if he has to do tasks each day that he wouldn't do if you weren't in the house, you pay for all of that. You're basically paying by the hour for those men. And your presence could actually cost you more money than if you just picked up and moved somewhere else for the duration. Okay, the last question is on energy conservation. And last week I did a show on energy conservation in new homes. Well, the answers are pretty much the same, and for an in-depth discussion, listen to last week's show. Basically, energy conservation in an existing house comes down to two things. It comes down to insulation and ceiling, and to heating and cooling equipment. Insulation and ceiling. If you've got an old house, it leaks like a sieve. A house built in the 70s has enough holes in it that even if all of your windows and doors are closed, effectively, you still have one window open at all times. That's how leaky it is. Also, your insulation, probably instead of having an R15 value, in reality, it's more like down to an R5 in the real insulation value in your home. So fixing insulation and sealing the house are two big things you can do to reduce energy use in your house. It's really true. Putting more insulation in your attic, that's a huge plus. Going around and caulking all the windows and doors, caulking any openings into the house. Those are big pluses. They pay off absolutely, both in energy savings and also in comfort. A house that doesn't have drafts is definitely more comfortable. When you're doing a renovation addition project, imagine if you're upfitting the third floor of the house. To seal it and insulate it well when you're doing that is a no-brainer. It's, you know, a big benefit from work that you are doing anyway. So that's the first thing, insulating and sealing. And by the way, the numbers are out. It's pretty, it's true that replacing windows does not pay back from energy savings point of view. Replacing the windows in your house may have other benefits, but you'll never make back the money that you spent on that on energy savings. Where you will make back the money on energy savings is on your heating and cooling equipment, especially your cooling. The air conditioning unit that you put in 10 years ago, first of all, is almost through its life. But when you put it in, it had a SEER, an energy efficiency rating of 10. The units require, well, has an energy efficiency rating of 10 or less. Because it's 10 years old, it's deteriorated, and now it's probably doing a SEER of 7 to 8. The new unit that you would replace it with has a SEER, by code, has a SEER of 14, which means that just simply replacing your air conditioner cuts in half the amount of energy you spend to cool your home. Simply replacing the air conditioner. That's by far the most effective thing you can do. Combine that with better ceiling and insulation. That's virtually everything you need to know about saving energy in a home. The other one's the water heater. If you've got a standard electric water heater, replace it, because it's probably costing you $50 a month, at least. If you replace it with an inline tankless gas water heater, it dropped the cost to under $20 a month, or even under $10. Mine's under $10 a month for water heating. That's a good one. If you have to replace it with electric, they now have heat pump units that are water heaters that are heat pumps, and they're about three times as efficient as the old-style electric water heater. That's really good. Furnaces are almost the same as they were. Replace your furnace when it breaks, but there's no push to do so because they have not improved in efficiency. Heat pumps have. If you've got a heat pump for your heat, they're much, much better. Same idea, twice as efficient. This is how you save money. And just about finished. You know, it's common. Energy savings is common sense. But almost all of it is in replacing the equipment and, you know, sealing and insulating your house. Replacing light fixtures, no savings. Putting in the new bulbs, they save money. And you're going to have to do them anyway because they won't sell you the old ones. So good luck, and Hopefully tune in next week.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.